Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, May 27th, 2015. And as usual, we'd like to thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Kande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri.
Here are our top stories this evening.
A top U.S. delegation from the influential Corporate Council on Africa is headed for Zimbabwe to explore business opportunities in various sectors of the economy.
We are taking U.S. businesses to explore opportunities in agribusiness, energy, manufacturing, and technology.
The Constitutional Court has outlawed the arrest of women who are found walking at night.
It is a very, very important ruling in respect of the problems that people face regarding the conduct of the police, because the effect of the ruling is that persons can't be arrested for the crime of soliciting.
And Harare residents team up with council to improve service delivery in Zimbabwe's capital city.
This is one of the best examples of a working tripartite relationship. The resident constituency is involved, is initiating projects, is participating with them. The councillor is there as a policy leader.
A top U.S. delegation from the influential Corporate Council on Africa, which promotes trade between the U.S. government and Africa, is headed for Zimbabwe next week to explore business opportunities in various sectors of the economy. The delegation will also visit Zambia and then proceed to Zimbabwe, where it will hold meetings with ministers of finance, agriculture, tourism and trade. They will also meet with the Reserve Bank Governor John Mangudya, as well as officials from the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce, among others.
This comes on the heels of another top visit by U.S. government officials 2 weeks ago. The Corporate Council on Africa has 180 members, including global corporations Coca-Cola, Microsoft, and Boeing. Reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached the organization's agribusiness director, Patricia Sheikh, who is leading the delegation.
We are taking U.S. businesses to explore opportunities in agribusiness, energy, manufacturing, and technology. And with a combined population of nearly 28 million people for both Zambia and Zimbabwe, and also as members of both SADC and COMESA, that could serve as staging ground for opportunities in those regional bodies, we feel the time is ripe for U.S. businesses to further explore opportunities in these two countries. So we're very excited to take these businesses with us.
Who exactly will you be meeting in Zimbabwe?
We'll be meeting with the Ministry of Industry, Trade and Commerce, the Minister of Finance and Economic Development, the Confederation of Zimbabwe Industries, the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce. We're going to also meet with the Governor of the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe and Bankers Association of Zimbabwe, the Zimbabwe Investment Authority, and we will have a courtesy call on the Vice President and also a meeting with the Ministry of Tourism and the Zambian Tourism Authority. We will have some breakout meetings with the Ministry of Agriculture, Mechanization and Irrigation, the Ministry of Transport and Infrastructure Development, and the Ministry of Energy and Power Development. And we will have a site visit at Paramount Factory.
In the event that some of the companies that you are going with see some opportunities and strike deals in Zimbabwe, how do you guys plan to go around the Zimbabwe Democracy and Economic Recovery Act?
We are not suggesting that anyone go around any laws. We think the time is ripe. I think that each case is an individual case as far as business is concerned.
That was Corporate Council on Africa Agribusiness Director on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo here in Washington. For analysis, we turned to economic analyst Masimba Kuchera.
The interest that these organizations have is an important one as they try to link businesses. However, in terms of what they would actually be able to come up with, that's a different story and question altogether.
Are we seeing an incremental thawing of relations between Washington and Harare?
You see, money knows no friend, no enemy. I think you can, if there is room to do business, people will do business. The only problem here is not the fact that there is no room for doing business. It's the toxicity of the political situation. This is what hampers a lot of progress in this country, that there is political infighting, not only in the opposition, but even in the ruling party, threatening to tear it apart. And I don't think that is an indication on the type of relationship that the U.S. government has, because even during the time of these restrictive measures, American companies were still trading with Zimbabwe.
That was economic commentator Masimba Kuchera on the line from Harare with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo.
The days of police crackdowns in which women were being targeted for alleged prostitution are over. This after the Constitutional Court today outlawed police dragnet operations in which women were being arrested in the avenue areas in the capital Harare and other urban centers on allegations of soliciting for paid sex. The court ruled that in the absence of a man who claims to have been approached, women's arrests are unconstitutional.
The women argued that they are a vulnerable group and also contended that their right to personal liberty guaranteed in Section 49 of the Constitution and their right to equal protection and benefit of the law has been violated. Lawyer David Ofisi of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Women Rights tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that the ruling is significant.
It is a very, very important ruling in respect of the problems that people face regarding the conduct of the police, because the effect of the ruling is that persons can't be arrested for the crime of soliciting for the purpose of prostitution unless it is shown what they actually did and who they solicited. So the who and the how test are what really both the state and the court agreed with us that he has to be satisfied. So the problem we're addressing there is the problem of law in action, because we've got the problem of dragnet arrest, mass arrest, where the police simply arrest women in mass at night.
But does this mean prostitution is now constitutional?
Well, not at all. It doesn't actually touch on prostitution at all, as some people may or may not be aware. Prostitution in and of itself is not a crime. I mean, just the act of sex for a reward or money is not a crime. We've got crimes around prostitution, such as the one we're referring to now, the crime of soliciting for the purposes of prostitution. So soliciting for prostitution itself remains a crime. However, if someone is arrested for that crime, then the state must necessarily allege in its papers that the person did something that constitutes soliciting. So the state can say this person accosted the person, whistled, winked. It has to be an act. So it's not just the fact of being found standing at a street corner that suffices for you to be accused of soliciting, but you have to do something and do something to someone. So it doesn't actually affect the crime itself of soliciting for purposes of prostitution. The crime remains extant on our books, but what is affected now is conduct. So this is really a conduct sort of ruling. It's about the law in action as opposed to the law that is written.
That was lawyer David Office of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Mojalifa Mokwele of the Zimbabwe Sexual Rights Center, an organization that assists sex workers with legal issues, says they also welcome the court ruling.
The Sexual Rights Center receives with pleasure and sees that ruling as a major development and a major step in terms of protecting the rights of sex workers in Zimbabwe.
But the fact that prostitution is still illegal in Zimbabwe, what's your comment on that?
We as an organization, and as human rights defenders, we prefer to use the term sex work, because this is the term that the sex workers would want to be addressed as. What we are saying is, or what the constitutional Concord ruling is trying to clarify, is that there is no offense, or it is not criminal to work and operate as a sex worker. But there can be a case to answer when one who is approached by a sex worker goes to court and lays charges and claims that I have been approached by somebody who was selling sex to me. But that situation is not okay. What has been happening is that the police has been picking randomly and arbitrarily and sometimes profiling women and arresting them on the basis of sex working or soliciting for sex, which was unconstitutional, as it has been clarified by the Concord.
That was Mojalifa Mokwele of the Zimbabwe Sexual Rights Center speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. Crackdowns on that.
Three people died on the spot and 13 were injured early today in an accident involving a Tom's bus and a haulage truck along the Shawan Road near Lundi Bridge. Chief Superintendent Paul Nyati told Studio 7 four of the injured people are in serious condition and they have been transferred from Shurugwi Hospital to Gweru General Hospital. The bus traveling to Gweru from Shishawane is said to have sideswiped a haulage truck which had overlapping pipes that ripped off the windscreen of the bus, resulting in the driver losing control. Police are yet to release the names of the deceased as their next of kin are yet to be informed. Chief Police Superintendent Piri told Studio 7 that the haulage truck did not stop at the scene of the accident.
Harare residents have over the years clashed with city fathers over poor service delivery, but this appears to be a thing of the past as some people in Sunningdale have teamed up with the local authority to improve service delivery. Some of the residents are also financing various community projects. Our correspondent Ivan Chifera has more from Harare.
As Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni witnessed during a tour of Sunningdale today, some residents are now doing voluntary work at council institutions like clinics, schools and recreational parks with the aim of improving service delivery. At the local clinic, several residents trained as nurse aides were assisting staff, while at a local recreational park, others were busy planting flowers and cutting grass. According to local councillor Hamima Zingira, residents also assist council employees to carry garbage, repair roads, and many other duties, such as planting trees and assisting in running council schools. He says it all began after he asked community and church leaders to urge residents to partner the cash-strapped council in improving service delivery. Kotri Nicole, who leads those doing voluntary work at Sunset Recreational Park, says the park was neglected and he felt duty-bound to assist the local authority.
As a resident of this community, I've been here since this residence was built. It keeps the environment clean and it's a healthy place to stay in. They're understanding and appreciating what we are doing because the children have a place to go and play.
Manyenyeni says, given the financial strain on council and its failure to hire adequate staff and provide enough resources, the partnership between residents and council in Sunningdale is exciting and must be replicated throughout the city.
This is one of the best examples of a working tripartite relationship. The resident constituency is involved, is initiating projects, is participating with them. The councillor is there as a policy leader. The management at the city are also not sparing their efforts in making sure that the dreams of this particular ward are fulfilled. We've seen the projects, we've seen the support levels. We think this is something that's worth repeating in every ward in the city.
He says the corporate sector should partner council as well in order to improve service delivery. Harare Residents Trust Director Precious Shumba says Sunningdale residents have good working relations with the local authority as they participate in council projects and get regular briefings. Meanwhile, Harare became the first council in the country to set up a standing committee to deal solely with the issue of its ever-increasing street vendors. City Principal Communications Officer Michael Chideme says the committee chaired by Councillor Charity Bango will deal with issues relating to vendors on a daily basis and report to full council monthly or as and when necessary.
This committee reports to the Corporate Services and Housing Director.
The council is currently facing a problem of vendors who are operating in undesignated areas in the central business district and has tried in vain to remove them. More and more citizens are turning to vending as the labor market shrinks due to poor economic performance. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
Zimbabwean men performing domestic chores in the diaspora, which they don't do back home.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Football's global governing body, FIFA, was rocked today by a massive U.S. federal corruption indictment against current and former top officials and the announcement of a separate investigation by Swiss authorities into allegations connected to the awarding of the 2018 and 2022 World Cups.
Two rights organizations have accused the West African nation of Gambia of illegally holding dozens of friends and relatives of people accused of involvement in a coup attempt late last year.
Two rights organizations have accused the West African nation, suicide bombings killed at least 17 Iraqi soldiers in Anbar province overnight as pro-government forces in Iraq continue their newly launched campaign to disrupt the Islamic State group in the area.
Britain's Queen Elizabeth has made a formal speech before Parliament to lay out the agenda for the Conservative government, including a promise of an in or out popular vote on European Union membership.
Most Zimbabwean men normally don't wash dishes, cook, and change children's diapers, as these have traditionally been regarded as women's roles. Men who normally conduct such chores are associated with greediness and related issues, including claims that they have been bewitched by their wives. The situation, however, is different when they stay in developed nations like Britain, America, Australia, Canada, and several others, where men and women swap these roles in order to cater for the needs of their families. Kumblani Chuma is Zimbabwean living in Australia, and Nefat Siziba, who has been living in Canada for 15 years, can conduct any domestic chores like their wives. But as Siziba puts it in this conversation with the Gibbs Dube, this is part of life in the diaspora.
It's very difficult, definitely, because, you know, mental-wise and all that, it really goes into you. It's not an easy job. It's not an easy job.
So how was your transformation?
As hard as, you know, it could have been, taking its toll and time, but still, you know, I did it.
And Mr. Chuma, do you do dishes? Do you change diapers?
It was really a wake-up call that I never imagined myself doing that. But the reality on the ground actually saw me doing those things. I'm far away from home. There's no one to assist. And it's me and my family. And I have to do what my wife cannot do. If she's at work and I'm home, I have to do everything. When I came here, I realized that now things have changed. And I had to adjust. I didn't have a choice.
And so, Mr. Siziba, is it a question of sharing responsibilities or you have to be committed to some of these things?
It's sharing responsibilities, which goes again with commitment. It's all about moving forward, you know. You don't want to lose. You want to gain, to be in touch, you know, at par with the community this side. And therefore, you have to share responsibility and you have to be committed.
So now, looking at some of these cultural contradictions, you know, what would happen, Mr. Chuma, if you go back home? Are you going to do the same thing?
No, when I go back home, I won't be doing the same thing. Even my wife also understands that here it's situational. I mean, we have to assist each other in order to develop and improve. If we don't do that, we won't even move an inch. So when we go back home, we all go back to what our culture dictates.
Is that the case, Mr. Siziba?
Yes, it is the case. But maybe we are taking it a bit wrong because, you know, it's only areas of responsibilities which differ. But that does not spell out dominance in such a way that we can say men are doing nothing at home. They are doing a lot. It's only that there are demarcations in responsibilities. Yet here there is no demarcation as to say females will be here, males will be there.
In case you decide to do the dishes, Mr. Chuma, what will your grandmother, your mother, your father, and neighbors maybe or relatives say?
Oh, they will all be shocked, trust me. They will just wonder what has gotten into me to be doing dishes. They will think my wife has done something to me, honestly, because they don't understand what's happening up here. And I don't expect them to also understand. So when I get back home, unless if it's a really an extreme situation, if I'm the only one who is there just to assist this, my wife is not feeling well and the kids are still young, then I can't do that. But all things being equal, I'm not expected to do that, and I cannot do that.
Is it impossible, Mr. Siziba, to explain to the community back home to say, we do this and I have to do it too in Zimbabwe?
It's not possible at all, but I mean, if you do it for the sake of just doing it and you don't realize the gain, then it's either punishment or etc.
So now, Mr. Chuma, what do you think about Zimbabwean men transforming back home? Is it possible for them to start realizing that sharing responsibilities go as far as the kitchen, go as far as changing diapers?
I think it's a bit difficult back home because you realize that most men are breadwinners. And yet here, we are almost equal when it comes to income. Back home, it's the man who is always the breadwinner, and therefore, because of that, this division of labor now dictates that the man is out there and the woman is in the kitchen. Unless
yes,
things really change in Zimbabwe to the level that we are in here, then you'd expect that men will realize that, okay, so my wife can be the breadwinner and I can do other things and we still develop. That's fine.
And your last word, Mr. Siziba?
Yes. Well, I'll say to begin with, men in Zimbabwe can do it, but they won't just do it for fun. It's not about the family culture. It's the labor culture. Back home, the labor culture differs so much. You know, the nannies and, you know, they can get as little as you offer them, yet it's impossible here.
That was Kumbulani Chuma, a Zimbabwean living in Australia, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Canberra. You also heard from Nefat Siziba, a Zimbabwean who has been living in Canada for 15 years. He was speaking with Studio 7 from Toronto.
MDC Renewal Team Treasurer General Elton Mangoma says he is troubled by violence that broke out in his party's offices yesterday, which he says was orchestrated by the party's leadership against him, following allegations that he is having an extramarital affair with the wife of party member Billy Tevera. Speaking at a press conference in Harare today, Mangoma, who was accompanied by his wife and had his head bandaged, denied allegations leveled against him. A three-member committee comprising of the party's youth chairman Solomon Madzure, spokesman Jacob Mafume, and vice national chairperson Lucia Matibenga, which was set up yesterday, has started investigating the issue. MDC Renewal Team's organizing secretary Reggie Moyo tells reporter Standikile Mhlanga that Mangoma's allegations on violence are not true.
I think that is a very far-fetched thing. Probably he's fighting himself. We are a united party. The only problem that we had was those that are personal. And the person who brought that, the guy who's called Believe, that actually attacked Mangoma, those were personal issues. That's why we are saying we need to investigate.
Talking about investigation, how far has the committee gone with these investigations?
It has been constituted and yet to call witnesses and carry out their job.
Mr. Mangoma also talked about violence within the party.
The violence that That actually happened in the party, manifested itself because of the allegations. So the issue was between Mangoma and Believe Tevera and the woman. So it was not about the leadership in the party. The leadership in the party is focused and condemn what happened. And that didn't even know that there were such things. The issue is there. There is someone who says his wife was taken away from him and he wants his wife. And there is someone who is supposed to actually answer to those allegations. Otherwise, these other problems that we are hearing, they are news to some of us.
That was MDC Renewal Team's Organizing Secretary Reggie Moyo on the line from Harare.
It's time to dig into our mailbag tonight, and we received these messages from our listeners.
The first listener, Chris M., says, I think MDC should have a chance to speak to the people through your station. We need to know their plans, progress, and achievements.
Douglas in Bulawayo says, I wish you could extend your broadcasting time so that you cover all areas and topics in Zimbabwe. Otherwise, thank you for the coverage. I would like to greet all Studio 7 listeners, including you out there.
Tafazwa says, a few days ago, we were attacked by ZANU-PF militia when we were coming back from our rally held by our president, Morgan Tsvangirai. We were commemorating Africa Day with him. Political power is good. We must fight for economic power.
Chakabuda Chris writes, I want to give warm greetings to my family. I love you all.
Thanks very much. Remember to send your audio messages at this WhatsApp number, 1-202-465-0318. That number again, 1-202-465-0318.
Studio 7 wants to hear from you. What issues matter to you? What's happening in your community? Tell us about it in your own voice using WhatsApp. Simply speak into the phone and record your message, starting with your name and your location and then your message. You can even greet your family and friends. Send your messages to our WhatsApp. Get ready for the number. It's +1-202-465-0318. That number again is +1-202-465-0318. Send us your audio messages right now.
The United Nations office in Zimbabwe today convened a two-day multi-stakeholders national dialogue on sustainable development goals, or SDGs, in the country's capital, Harare. The meeting will see the stakeholders engaging in comprehensive and inclusive dialogue to plan, build consensus, and raise awareness of SDGs. These goals are a proposed set of targets relating to future international development. For perspective on the meeting, reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks to Makleo Mafumo, Youth President of the Zimbabwe United Nations Association.
The main presentation was from government, civil societies, which we also did, on what input we can give in regards to this whole situation.
What were some of the SDGs, or Sustainable Development Goals, that were pinpointed?
I think if you look at Sustainable Development Goal number 1 and number 2, which is about ending poverty in all its forms everywhere, to achieve food security and improved nutrition and promote sustainable agriculture. That was one of the main sustainable development goals that was being touched on, as it encompasses all the 17. They all fall under the first sustainable development goal, if I can say. So you are just giving an overview of how this goal can be brought nicely to the people if everyone has an effective contribution towards this goal.
There was also an online survey which Zimbabweans were able to give input on what they thought should be or would be important looking at some of these goals. Can you explain that?
We as Zimbabwe United Nations Association, with the certain institutions that we work with in Zimbabwe, we distributed this online survey, myworld.2015.com, where everyone was to give a comment.
That was Makhlio Mafumo, Youth President of the Zimbabwe United Nations Association, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare, bringing us to the end of the show. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiri. Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk, where we'll be discussing about the vendor plight.